The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
What a wonderful job. Take your Bible, go back, please, Proverbs chapter 22, and I'll not give explanation on the verse again, though I'll read it again for emphasis' sake. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I have given emphasis several nights as we have read these verses there in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10, where it says, for precept must be, and the emphasis on must be, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And then in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, especially in dealing with children, where the Bible says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In our series, of course, just to rehearse it before you, we have taught on practicing your faith in the home. We have talked about developing a good spirit, changing the heart of a rebel. How can we make our relationships last? Teaching your teenager to stand, healing marriage conflicts, communicating well, reaping well, investing as a family, adopting biblical values, child-rearing principles for ages 0 to 9, then part 1 and part 2, the same child-rearing principles ages 10 to 12. Then, of course, we've already taught part 1 of ages 13 to marriage and child rearing. We've emphasized, of course, the different age brackets, 0 to 9, you train them, 10 to 12, you retrain them, and ages 13 to marriage, you restrain them. Now, last week in talking about ages 13 to marriage, we said this, spend time with your young person. Spend time with your young person. Communicate with your young person. Communicate with your young person. Learn to hear and read their hearts. Learn to hear and read their hearts. Use biblical truth to direct them in their decision making. Use biblical truth to direct them in their decision making. If they do not adhere to your instructions, learn the reason with them. Learn the reason with them. So you learn to reason with them. In other words, you talk it through is what we're talking about. Then we said to guard them from critics who stand against biblical truth. Guard them from critics that stand against biblical truth. Statement number next, I said, do not shame them in public. Do not shame them in public. Then we said, encourage them to have people they look up to in their lives, if you will, who are setting good examples. Then we said, praise them when they do well. Now tonight, let me continue. Statement number 10, laugh a lot with them. Laugh a lot with them. We live in a very serious, high tension world. There needs to be some lightness inside of the home. Laugh a lot with them. Sit down and have fun with them. Let them see that life is not all serious. Life is not all complicated. Life is not all overwhelming. Help them to see that. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And by the way, you can tell if somebody has a merry heart or not by their countenance. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15, the Bible says, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now that's talking about the joy that would fill their heart. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, the Bible says this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You ever visit somebody in a hospital and they're dying of cancer, but they've got a merry heart? Can I tell you that that's one of the best things they could ever have in their life, is to have a merry heart during the times of their illnesses. Laugh over life circumstances, events, and personal happenings. By the way, when you make a mistake, laugh at yourself. Don't be so serious. And don't beat yourself up all the time. Okay, don't do that all the time. If you make a mistake and you mess up somewhere, laugh at yourself and then get over it quick, and then go back to serving God. Okay, help your teenager to see the lighter side of life and to enjoy living. Statement number 11: spend time alone with them, about talking maybe about their day or showing interest in the things that they're doing, what they're doing. Okay, so spend some time alone with them. Now, we talked about that last week. Spend some one-on-one time alone with them. You say, well, I spend time with them as a family. That's not enough. I said, that's not enough. Spend time with them individually, okay? Talk with them and spend time with them. You know, our lives are lived in the speed zone, so we need to slow it down a little bit for our young person's sake. Ask them provoking questions such as, you know, how was your day? Don't just ask them yes or no questions where they have to answer yes or no. Ask them provoking questions. You say, well, they never talk to me. Well, maybe because you're not asking them questions. So ask them provoking questions to provoke conversation. Okay? Did anything unusual happen today? Now, you may get a story that lasts 2 or 3 hours. But you could ask them provoking questions. Where did you eat today? Now, if you ask a boy that, he'll take a long time to tell you. How's your vehicle running? If they're driving or they own their own vehicle, how's your vehicle running? Ask them provoking questions. What did you learn today in school? Ask them provoking. And if they're always coming home saying nothing, then I would be concerned. Okay? How do you like playing on your sports team? How do you like playing on your sports team? Okay? How did you like the youth activity? What did the youth director preach on in Young Fundamentalists? What did he preach on? You know, if they're coming in the house and you're always asking, what did the youth director preach on in Young Fundamentalists? Well, I don't know. Well, then you know you've got to help them a little bit with them paying proper attention. How did soul winning night go? How did soul winning night go? How did your bus route go today? Talk to them. Ask them provoking questions, okay? When is the next time that your group sings in church? Ask them provoking questions. And you go outside that rim and ask them other questions. Statement number next, talk about life's issues and voice, listen to it, your opinion. Talk about life issues and voice your opinion. Don't forget, they're still teenagers. They're still developing their opinions. They're still developing their principles. They're still developing their purposes, their drives, their definition, their direction. All right? So talk about life's issues. And don't just listen to how they feel about life's issues. It might be a time to give them some corrective instructions to guide them in a certain way. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, but sanctify, it says, the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh, it says, you a hope, it says, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So now wait a minute. So it's talking about how to talk with them. You notice the last couple of words, in meekness and in fear. Okay, so you be able to help them to develop godly answers. Ask them provoking questions about life's issues that might be something they're facing inside of their heart. Who do you think the next president should be? And why? You know, who do you think should be, or what do you think should come about with the Supreme Court in their ruling about same-sex marriage or the homosexual movement? Why do you believe that? Let's talk about it. Okay? What do you think about ladies' dress or apparel? Talk about it. What's wrong with rock music? Talk about it. What is the one thing that you think that all teenagers should do in living for God? What do you think they ought to do? In other words, if you're going to put it in a capsule or a definition about how a person should live for God, what would you say a teenager needs to do in order to live for God? Why is church important to you? Why is it important to you? When you get older, are you still going to attend church? Are you going to go Sunday morning? Sunday night, Wednesday night, special conferences? If they say yes, ask why. If they say no, ask why. Provoke conversation. When you get older and your child comes to you with a question, and they ask whatever that question might be, you could fill it in. How are you going to answer them? How are you going to answer them? I think we live in a day where many young people, yea, even college-age young people, you ask them, what do you think about this? Well, I believe this. Why do you believe that? Well, that's what the church believes. Well, that's what the preacher preaches. What about thus saith the Lord? Amen. I didn't get enough amens on that for Bible believers. I said, what about thus saith the Lord? Amen. What about what the Bible says? Okay, statement number next. Teach them philosophy, line upon line, precept upon precept. When I would take our children off in the car, and just them and I, we would spend a lot of time philosophizing. That's not good. That's not bad. That is good. All right. Over in Isaiah, I'll read it again, 28 and 10. The Bible says, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So, you know, philosophize. Okay, you know, when you philosophize, that has more to do with why do we believe what we believe. Rather, it's talking about, if you would, it's talking about what you believe, why you believe it, not the we, but why you believe it. A good child ought to know what we believe. They included in the we believe. It's better for a child to say, well, I believe it because of that, or I believe it because of them. It's better for a child to say, I believe it because of the Bible. Okay? So spend time philosophizing with them. Dad, show love to the child's mother in front of them. Show love to the child's mother in front of them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, nevertheless, it says, let every one of you, the Bible says, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, it says, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. All right? So show love. That's a part of training, if you will, please, the son how to be a proper husband and how to be a proper father. That's part of training. Okay, and so show love in front of the children. Don't be ashamed to kiss your wife. Don't be ashamed to hold her hand. Don't be ashamed to make goo-goo eyes at each other. Don't be ashamed to make stupid faces at each other. Okay, statement number next. Mom, show love to the child's dad in front of them. In front of them. The Bible talks over in Song of Solomon. The Bible says, chapter 5 and verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved. Now listen to what it says here. And tell him I am sick of love. Now, that means that she's just not, don't take that the other way, please. And so she is sick in love with him. I'm sick. That's not like, oh, I'm sick of your love. No, go back and read it contextually, please. All right? And so show love, if you will. And so show love, if you will, to your wife. Show love, and wife, show love to your husband. That did not go over well. Okay? Statement number next. Show displeasure. Show displeasure when they have improper dress, worldly styles, but don't forget to brag on them when they're making right choices in modesty and styles. Okay? Show displeasure. Now, okay, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, in the Bible, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Some people that you start teaching some things against their flesh, boy, they get all bent out, don't they? They just get all bent out. But you ever notice how God is, how God is a very specific God? Did you ever notice that in the book of Genesis, when he finished the first day, he said it was good, but there's certain things he did on the first day, certain other things he did on the second day. He did things decently in order, and there was a decency about him in everything that he did. By the way, Noah just didn't come up with plans to build the ark the way he wanted to fabric the ark. God gave specific orders, specifically. Study the tabernacle, if you will. When they erected the tabernacle in the wilderness, where they were going to put the table of showbread was ordered by God. Where they were going to put the candlesticks was ordered by God. The way that they would actually erect the tabernacle in the wilderness was ordered definitely, finitely by God. Now think about that. The garments that the priest would wear into, how many bells would be on, the fabric of the priest's outfit, if you will, was all ordered by God. So why do you think that God doesn't care about other things? As a matter of fact, the Bible here teaches over in Jeremiah chapter 2 and in verse 23, where it talks about the maid, it says to forget her ornaments, it says, or a bride her attire. Tammy's getting ready to get married. She's going to have the attire on of a bride. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, first, she's getting married because she told me so. Secondly, when she walks down the aisle, she's going to be distinctively dressed differently than all those others that are part of that service that evening. It's a bridal, if you would please, outfit or gown. All right, you notice in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10 talks about the attire of a harlot. So there's a distinct difference in your Bible between the attire of a bride and the attire of a harlot. You know, so a lady should dress keeping in mind her importance of that which is modesty and moderation. Modesty simply means this. It means that as you talk about modest apparel, the word apparel comes from a Greek word, kachistoe, means a long, flowing, draping, veiling garment. That's what it's talking about. When you talk about moderation, you're talking about that which is done in decent order. In other words, it doesn't draw the attention to only one specific part of the person. You ever see a girl and she wears earrings that's the size of a football? Okay, that is not done in moderation. You ever see somebody and they put on lipstick? So I'm talking about they put it on so thick that you can see their lips 3 miles before they see the person. That is not done in moderation. And I'm not just picking on the girls. You take a fella. You ever see a fella get some type of weird haircut? I'm talking about weird beyond weird. And he sticks out. I'm talking about he sticks out. In other words, it's just not normal. You ever see somebody walking around like just not really normal? I mean, what it does is it's drawing your attention. It's not moderation. It's not done in moderation. Okay, all right, and so over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, in like matter also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, I just explained that to you, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with embroidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. There's where the moderation comes in, okay? So don't, if you would please, decorate yourself out so much like a Christmas tree and you're waiting for somebody to come plug you in. Okay, you know, young people always ought to keep in mind, okay, young ladies, please keep this in mind. The Bible talks about there's a professing here, professing. She's professing something. Now, what is she professing? Your clothes, if you will, speak for you. They profess. They profess. They tell things about you. Godliness and ungodliness or worldliness or somebody that is trying to walk with God and doing the best they can. It speaks. It speaks. It speaks volumes. So our clothes identify either the crowd that we are or the crowd that we want to be like. Our clothes line up, you'll see in the Bible, along with our work or our profession. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says, but which becometh it says, women professing. There it is, professing. In other words, it's out there. You can tell who they are by that which they adorn themselves in. It professes who they are. Example, you go to sit in the dentist chair, and a girl comes up. She's supposed to be the dental hygienist. right? But she's got grease all over her hands. She's got, a sweatshirt on. It's got grease all over it. And she's got blue jeans on, and grease is all over it. And she says, I'm here to clean your teeth. All right? The way that she is presenting herself, professing herself, does not line up with the way she should be in identification for who she is. Now, can I say, as Christian young people, old people, God's people, we ought to profess unashamedly who we are. Okay? And so we understand, it says here, but it says, which becometh women professing godliness. Okay, think about it. You think of some of the punk rockers that's out there, you know, they're on the platform, and they got tight this, tight that, they got jewelry here, jewelry there, okay? When you walk in, you don't look at them and say, boy, that's a good Christian. I am really impressed. I mean, that's the type of godliness I want in my life and in my children's life. No, that's not what it reminds you of, okay? So the way that we present ourselves does have an impression on others. The Bible says with good works. So every parent ought to want their daughters to be called tender and delicate. Amen. I got one amen. Amen. Tender and delicate. Don't train your girls to be rough. All of a sudden when he comes home and he says, I want some sugar, and she says, Bubba, bend over, you're going to get it. No, train them to be tender and delicate. Okay? If you dress a girl rough, she's going to behave rough. Amen. If you dress them a ladylike, guess what? You get a different type of attitude, disposition, and actions out of them. Check it out. It's been that way all down through history. Over in Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 1, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin, daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There's no throne, O daughter of the Chaldees, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. All right? So we want to take and train our young ladies to be tender and delicate. We teach our girls here, if you wear a skirt and it reveals the thigh, you're endangering yourself. You're endangering those that look upon you. Why? You think about this, the shorter the dress, the more a person many times will digress. The Bible talks about when somebody bares the leg or uncovers the thigh, that draws a man's eyes. It does. Over in Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 2, the Bible says, take the millstones and the grind meal. It says, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh. Pass over the river, rivers. And then it talks about thy neck and it shall be revealed. Okay? So it's very clear that God, just like he did with the articles of faith, just like he did those that's put in the Ark of the Covenant, if you would please, those that's put in the things put in the tabernacle, the way the Ark was built, the way he told the priest to be, everything God does, God is specific. Why is it that people get bent out of shape over this, but they don't get bent out of shape over this? I'm going to tell you why. Nobody in here, by the way, nobody likes to be told what to do when it comes to their own person. Nobody does. I believe it really depends on how you have a view of God. When we have a view of God, God, I love you, I'll do whatever you want me to do, then dressing modest or in moderation never becomes an issue, because it's a heart decision. Those that have trouble with this also have trouble with other problems in their life. All right? The Bible clearly teaches about the woman bearing the leg. You say, why are you bringing this stuff up? Because you need to know how to help your young people. It would be better to be too safe than not safe enough. I've never seen an older, mature saint that was a godly lady correct anybody for having a dress that was too long. But I have seen them correct those that have them too short or too snug. Now, the longer a dress is doesn't make anybody more spiritual. I've seen people that were more spiritual than those that wore dresses. But you want to be right in every area if you know what right is. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the more I know, the more God expects of me. I believe that when you come to a Bible-believing Baptist church that teaches you the truth line upon line, precept upon precept, when you hear it, you now become responsible for it. Amen. Oh, you say, well, I heard it, I don't agree with it, I'll go to another church. Too late. You already heard it. You'll be responsible for it until the day you die. Because just because you ignore what you heard doesn't mean that God changes the Bible. You can run from it, but it will always be there in your Bible. You can get up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to find, maybe God took it out. I hope so. I'm going to turn there and just see if God took it out. Oh, no, he did not take it out. It's always going to be there. Okay, the Bible says in verse 3, listen to it. We're in Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 3, and then I'll come back up for explanation. All right? And so, nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. So God says that the shame is seen. I will take vengeance, the Bible says, and I will not meet you as a man. Saying, I'm not even going to come into your presence. When you're behaving that way, when you're dressing that way, I'm not even getting into your presence. Okay? All right? So we understand this. And so we teach our young ladies here, hey, if you're going to wear a skirt, I believe this. If you can get that thing extending past the bottom of your knee, when you're in a sitting position, it covers everything. You're done. You're okay. But be careful. You ever see these girls? Now, don't get mad at me. I mean, you know, if you're going to get, well, forget it. If you're going to get mad at me, go ahead. Watch this, if you will. Okay, give me your jacket. I'm going to help you. You ready? Here we go. You ever see, I'm not going to get a girl up here to do it because it would not be right. You ever see a girl that has a real short one on like this? And every time she walks, you know, I mean, it's just displaying her goods. You ever see that? Then when she sits down and crosses her leg, some of you guys are covering your eyes. What are you covering your eyes for? I'm a guy and I got britches on, okay? Then she, when she sits down, it jacks up, so now it's way up here. Then she crosses her leg. I mean, isn't that a duh? I mean, come on, dads. Isn't that a duh? Your girl comes into the living room and she's dressed like that. Here's what you need to say. Go change, put something decent on. You're not leaving that way. You know what the problem is? A bunch of dads don't have any guts. You've been sucking on a pacifier so long that you got used to it. Now, if I were you, I'd just stand up. You say, well, my wife is going to get mad. She's been mad at you before. You got over it then. You'll get over it now. The problem is we got a bunch of girls that's running our homes, and that's why you're letting them run all over you. You know, your child would appreciate you if you would simply be a man.
Yes, sir. That's right. It's good.
Hello. Amen. All these young guys are saying amen. They're not even married. That's funny. All right. But watch this, if you will. So you know, I'm not saying you got to wear it down to here. I'm not saying you got to wear it down to here and trip all over it and fall. I'm not. Sorry. But you ought to have common sense enough to know that the shorter it is, the more it draws the attention of other guys. Oh, you say, they shouldn't be looking. If you love God enough, you shouldn't be giving them anything to look at. Look, I lived in New York for a long time. We could ride certain streets and we knew exactly who the hookers were. I'm giving you plain talk, but we knew who they were. Because there's a way they dressed that drew men. All we're trying to do is teach you some truth. And by the way, listen to me, girls. Don't buck against your parents if they're trying to help you do right. Amen. Don't do that. Well, I tell you what, that's just your opinion. I just showed you in the Bible. Give me an argument. You can't. Can't give me an argument on it. So it might be time for you just to decide that, hey, I think I'm just going to agree with God on this matter. Okay? So what do you do? What do you do when you have a teenager that just decides they don't want to do right in this area? Okay? When they fail to dress right, what do? Give them a weird look? Give them a worried look? Give them a worrying look? Give them, if you would please, a withering look? You say, what is that? Oh, no, try it. Talk to them. Have a heart-to-heart conversation with them in private. Do this. It would be better, if you will, for the wife to talk to the daughter. It would be better for the dad to teach the young men how to be masculine. Okay? You would get, you know, I would feel very highly uncomfortable bringing a girl in, a lady if you would, and trying to tell her face to face, you know, this is what the Bible says, why aren't you doing it? And that made me feel so uncomfortable. That's why I'm doing it from the pulpit. Say, why? Because there's wood between me and you. No, I'm kidding. But because everybody needs to know it, that way you can help the other person that might be struggling. That's why. Okay? Okay, let's continue. So I think it's better for the wife to talk to that which is the daughter. I think it's better the mother, if you will. I think it's better for the dad to talk to the boys. Okay? I've never seen a girl that rebels against that which is modest dress that already doesn't have rebellion in the heart about something towards God. I've just never seen it. Okay? A person that's totally yielded, no problem. Statement number next, okay? Give good books to read and good music to listen to. Good books to read, good music to listen to. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so that means whatever you put in there for him to compute, to think upon, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So never forget what you put into the mind resonates eventually, and eventually they become comfortable with it. So whatever you continue to allow to be the diet that goes in, eventually it's going to resonate with them. Eventually, okay, just like many years ago, they came out with the movie Gone with the Wind. As far as what I understand in studying some history, it was the first movie they ever put out that had a live curse word in it. Nobody raised a fuss. Nowadays, very few movies are out there in the industry from Hollywood that does not have a curse word in it. They all have them in there. Okay? All right? And so, why? People got comfortable with it. People got comfortable with it. And our society has endorsed the same-sex marriage and stuff like this. You let it go, 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 and eventually people are going to get comfortable with it. It just becomes, this is acceptable. Okay? All right? It is far better not to allow a seed to be planted than to have to terminate it later. Let me give you one last thought. May I do it? Keep the TV viewing to a minimum with only non-hurtful shows and movies. Here's what Job said. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I, he said, why then should I look upon the maid? All right, just be careful what you bring into the living room. Be careful. Be careful. I want to invite, stay with my thoughts now. I know this is straightforward stuff to you tonight, but it's helpful and we need it. Okay, I want to invite some floozy to come into my house in the living room and undress in front of me. Now, if I'm not going to allow that to be invited into my living room, why in the world would I allow my children to see it on TV? See, somewhere along the line, we have to decide, are we going to be godly or are we just going to be religious? Are we going to be somebody that's going to get close to God and take it serious, build that relationship, have his power, and be used of him? Or is it just, you know, we want to be politically correct, non-offensive in all areas, and so it is what it is. You as a parent are going to have to decide where is it that you're going to, and what is it that you're going to obey when it comes to Bible truth. Okay? Think about some of the old stuff that was put out years ago. It wasn't demeaning and it wasn't devaluating in morals. And I'm not saying I endorse this stuff as being that which is a complete traditional family, but at least it gave a semblance of a traditional family. The old Andy Griffith Show, or The Father Knows Best, or My Three Sons, or Leave It to Beaver, or Dennis the Menace, or Hazel, or some of those shows of yesteryear. It didn't show things that today are being showed. You say, well, I'll tell you what, preacher, everybody's doing it. I'm not.
Amen.
I'm not. But you don't understand, preacher. You know, I think I'd rather go to a church that makes me feel more comfortable. Understand, I'd rather go to a church that helps me to become more godly. If you're always looking for a church that's where you are, you will never grow past where you are. You never will. You never will. You know, well, you know, I don't want him to preach on this, and I want him to touch on this because I disagree with this, I disagree with this, I disagree with this, I disagree with this. Well, what you're saying is you want to be your own pastor. You should expect the pastor to have the ability, the boldness, the rightfulness to point out things that, yes, you don't even agree with, that might challenge you to get closer to the Lord. Amen. Instead of saying the same.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, so I'm saying tonight, there are some things that we need as parents. And by the way, this is not new. For those of you that's been with me for, what, 8+, almost 9 years, you've heard this stuff. Okay? But can I tell you that we as adults ought to decide that we're going to help our children and help our grandchildren. I'm working on a lesson right now on how is it? I'm a grandfather now. Grandfather. I'm still not used to it. Those two little boys, that little girl, she's not walking yet, but those two little boys come running down the hallway, and one of them will say, one of them calls me Papa, the other one calls me Granddad. I don't even know who I am. You know, all right, and so, but they'll come running down the hallway, and can I tell you something? I know that one day they're going to come in for counsel. One day they're going to grow up here as a teenager. They're going to come in, and they're going to say, hey, Grandpa, or Papa, or whatever they call me. Hey, old man. No. But they're going to say, hey, look, man, I've got some decisions to make in my life. In my personal life, I need some direction in. Well, I'll be teaching the same thing then as I'm teaching now. The stuff I'm teaching now, I preached as a youth director when I lived in Brooklyn, New York, back in 1984. Still the same stuff. Still the same stuff. Why? Because the Bible is true. And we just have to bring ourselves in and decide to obey it. Father, help us, we pray. Thank you for church. Thank you for the opportunity. Be able to come, open a Bible, learn, and...
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.